Welcome back to the Dan Mulhern Show, all about everyday leadership on the Michigan Talk Network. And you know, one of the things we like to talk about most is how to regenerate Michigan's economy and how to do that with great businesses. We know that great places to work generate bottom line returns, and we're seeing that more and more. One of the exciting things going on are different kinds of initiatives across the state that are supporting that. So in addition to the Fortune 100 Best Companies to Work For, which we've been talking about as a national initiative, there's also now a couple of state initiatives that are really exciting. And one that I'm at today is West Michigan's 101 Best and Brightest Companies to Work For. It's an intense competition. They have a number of different categories that they consider important and evaluate those. Aquinas College, very involved in the evaluation. And I'm fortunate to be joined with the winner of last year's award as the best of the best, and that's Mill Steel Company. And what an interesting story and what a great topic. I've got two guests with me, Tom Stanfield, who's the hands-on guy, the people development officer, and then the moving force behind the whole thing, the family business, Andrew Samrick. And Andrew, congratulations on this great award.
Thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate the recognition, but more importantly, it's just fun to be successful.
Always a good thing to be successful. And you mean that success in what sense when you say great to be successful?
Well, I think you take a look at the Michigan economy, and it's no secret that we're going through a significant turmoil. There's a lot of change happening right now. The fundamental underlying manufacturing base is shifting and moving, not only out of the state, but out of the country. We're facing competitive pressure in ways that we've never seen before. And there's something altogether enjoyable about being able to not only remain a solvent business, but to grow and to thrive, to be successful financially, but also to be successful in the measures that matter to us, our norms and values, to continue to be the kind of people that we want to be. Any kind of fool can win by being a jerk. It takes a special kind of fool to run a great business, to work in a great team, and to succeed against the odds.
Yeah, listen to that. Now, I think any kind of fool can win in the short term. In the long term, I don't know if you can do it. But you're talking about two different forms of success, and let's start with the first. Michigan lost 23,000 manufacturing jobs last year. You're fundamentally a manufacturing company, but didn't lose jobs. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah, what kind of job growth have you seen in the last 3 or 4 years?
This has been interesting for us. Fundamental to the fact that we continue to see jobs remaining in the state of Michigan is the fact that we are, in the end, culturally Midwesterners. We're from Michigan. It's our home. We're from Grand Rapids. It's our home. And the structure of our business is built with a very centralized approach to how we run our back office activities. Our manufacturing facilities around the United States and Canada, our manufacturing facilities and only that. So all of the office staff remains here. What that's meant for us is that it's meant that we've been able to remain lean throughout the business cycle. So as we've seen others have to scale back, we've been able to pack things away for a rainy day. That said, we've had to change significantly the product and service that we offer. 5 years ago, the business that we are today would have been inconceivable. The pace at which we service our customers, the geographic range and reach, the products that we bring to the marketplace simply weren't on our plate then. We had to change to remain viable.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's so interesting. The best of the best was not an information technology company, not a life sciences company, not a financial services company, but was a manufacturing company. And you talk about all this growth and change. Maybe people are interested. I am. What exactly is it that you sell?
Well, ours is a business that helps people make cars and office furniture and appliances, anything made out of steel, light flat rolled, and looks like giant rolls of toilet paper. And we help people find the exact right combination of quality, material type, thickness, formability, to make the one specific part. At any point on our production floors, there are 12 billion potential combinations of product, and we have to help our customers find the right one. If we look back 5 or 10 years ago, it was a business that was traditional. It was slow. Customers would give us weeks and weeks of lead time, and we'd have a significant amount of opportunity to either find a way to make money or not in that time frame. In the last few years, though, we've seen competition become significantly more global, in particular as manufacturing competition has moved south of the border, has moved to the Far East. We've begun to see the supply chains that our customers utilize shift and change globally. We had to find a place inside of that. So what our products and services became was less of a manufactured steel product and more peace of mind. more support and service. Significant focus on extremely short lead time. Today we help our customers every single day find 100 or 200 tons of steel that we didn't know about this morning, that they didn't know they needed this morning. And they'll call us, and within 5 minutes we have an answer. We've sourced it globally. Generally speaking, it needs to be delivered in under 24 hours. So in less time than it takes FedEx to pick up a package and deliver it, we get a call from a customer, we find 100 tons of material, we inspect it, we process it, we inspect it, we package it, we process it, put it on trucks and ship it halfway across America before the FedEx package arrives that we send with the certifications on the product. It's a phenomenally different business model that provides peace of mind and cost savings to our customers, as opposed to being what traditionally we were, which was just another linchpin, another chain in the manufacturing process. We used to get by on margin. Today we get by in smarts.
Yeah. We're speaking with Andrew Samrick. He is the CEO of Mill Steel, located here in Grand Rapids, but with production facilities in Detroit and Canada and other places. Amazing story. I worked in a Ford steel mills. I worked splitting steel and banding steel 100 years ago, it seemed like. So I know a little bit about your business, but boy, the way you talk about it is so extraordinarily different. So given the issues that you're talking about, speed, the need to get to market very, very quickly, adaptability that you're talking about, millions of different uses of the steel that you're producing, whether it's for furniture or car product or whatever. Intense competition in the market so that people can find information from different vendors. They don't have to stick with you forever. What's the connection between that, which is in your business, but really, frankly, is in lots and lots of businesses? What's the connection between that? Speed, nimbleness, flexibility, adaptability, customization, and the employee culture, creating a best and brightest workplace where employees have a different experience and where the employee is central.
And that's the fundamental question, Dan. As we take a look at the way that our business has changed, we've built what we call a culture of ownership. Every person in our organization truly is rewarded as we as owners are. Every person in our organization shares in the gains that we make. Every person in our organization, from the newest employee to the most senior, has the same skin in the game, which means that every single day we're all driven to the same ultimate end.
Now, is that metaphorical, that they're ownership, or is that literal? Do they actually, are people owners in the company and share in the bottom line?
It's a culture of ownership. There are a handful of us that own and manage at the most senior level in the business. The rest of us are rewarded as if we were owners. So we get all of the upside without having to take the financial loss when the bad markets come.
So when there are returns, you pay in terms of bonuses and things like that, but the salary is set, where if
Absolutely.
There's no returns at all for you, there may not be salary.
Correct. And what our employees find is that every single month, when we've been able to meet and exceed our expectations on sales growth and control of our major cost items, they get an extra check in their pocket. And we've found that it's important that we give an extra check, because people's spouses don't always have to find out about those, and it becomes a little bit of fun and walking around money. But to drive that level of success, it's meant that we had to change the back office culture of our business. If we take a look around our business, about half of our staff, about half of our team, are 10, 15, 20, 25-year vets. We just had a 35-year anniversary the other day. We're running out of ways to recognize people because we never figured we'd make it this long, let alone have to go past 35 years. But as we look around, we've got this great combination of wisdom, of gray hair, as we call it, and youthful energy, the ability to be overworked and love it, to find excitement and the opportunity to do what a person perhaps in their 50s or 60s would find exhausting. But this combination of wisdom and energy has given us the ability to take and execute at a level that we never found possible. We as owners didn't change. What we simply found were tremendous people, and went back to the adage that my grandfather, when he started the company, said, my father, as he's grown the company, has said, and that is very simply, find great people. Make sure everybody knows what the goal is, and then get out of the way. They're going to do a great job for you. And by tying together the management structure, the information systems, and the financial and personal rewards, all toward that same end goal of getting the customer what they want, when they want it, and making money at it. And it looks like this, but no one on the radio can see that, but it looks like this. when our people get the customer what they want, when they want it, and find a way to make money at it, we all win. And when we win, we don't just win the day, we don't just get a bonus, but we create a level of stability. And that's what we talk about, that culture of ownership, is remaining in control of our future, because anybody can have a job. We're lucky that we're small enough, that there are there are only three layers in our organization, that we can move that quickly.
How many employees, Andrew, at Mill Steel?
141, I believe, as of Monday, although we're working on more. It's been an interesting time for us, 141, and with the exception, I think, of two people on third shift in Detroit, we all know each other. I just haven't had a chance to meet them yet. But we've got this wonderful family business. My grandfather always said, bricks and mortar don't make a business. Family business isn't just owned by a family. Everybody in it is treated like family. And that means that we share successes. It means that we carry the burdens. This year we've seen two people lose parents. Another person lost a brother. We've got two cancers going on in the organization. That we're all there to carry the burden, helping with the people's children, finding a way to work around and support them when they're not there. Because in the end, we talk about Michigan values. We talk about the farmer's work ethic. At the end of the day, a farmer to eat, we all have to get in the dirt. We have to make sure that we're continuing to work, because if we don't get up and work the land, work the cows, feed, we don't eat. And we've got that same feeling of culture. This is about success. It isn't about individual success. It's about being able to remain viable and relevant in a world that continues to change. And it doesn't matter for us if you're 25 years old or 63 years old. It's about finding a way to stay in control of our destiny in a world that doesn't want us to.
Yeah. Well, so interesting. We're listening to Andrew Samrick. I'm talking with Andrew, who, as you've heard, is the third generation in a business called Mill Steel, a traditional steel business, but nothing traditional about the way it's run. I can't help but note for my listeners that, energy is hugely important, and I think it jumps through the radio. I think people can hear it from you, that your passion and enthusiasm about the business matter. My old business partner used to say, you don't light a fire with a wet match. And a piece of it all is bringing that energy. And I think it's something we all have to ask ourselves, whether it's in family, the small team that we may be a part of, the small team we may be managing, or perhaps some of us in larger organizations. Am I bringing the energy and the enthusiasm that makes a difference? Because energy in the end is half of the equation of leadership, the other half being, having a clear picture of success. If you know what that picture is and you're releasing energy to get there, you're going to have great returns. And I can't help but not comment about the tremendous energy that you convey in this interview here. If people could see your pink tie, they'd see even more of the energy and the power that's coming out of it. Well, we're coming up on a break, but when we come back, I really want to have Tom Stanfield jump in here, because there's a unique contradiction in this firm, and I want to talk about that when we get right back on the Dan Mulhern Show on the Michigan Talk Network.